But tonight, the presence, the power, the presence, I'm going to add a fourth P. The presence, the power, and the promise are achieved by submitting to the plan. You know, I always know the Lord has given me a chord to strike when the audience goes, That's not me, that's the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. We're trusting you, Lord, for your word. Amen. I spent my first two messages mainly dealing with the presence of Jesus. We must submit to his presence. As the family of Christ, or we hinder the effects of his presence on us and on others. And then last night we learned that God the Father's solution to how his power and his powerful presence, God was concerned about his powerful presence and how it could affect sinners, so he wrapped it up in flesh. Housed his presence in his Son. Now by faith and prayer, we can touch God. We don't have to walk 1,000 paces behind his presence. Jesus can walk by my side. You ought to give God glory for that. Now listen to me carefully. Tonight, I want to demonstrate that God designed a plan to allow the power in Christ's presence to grow in us. God designed a plan to allow the presence of God to grow in us. And he did this by making a promise. The plan, if followed, and that's going to be the problem tonight. We're not following the plan. The plan, if followed, allows us to experience the power of Christ's presence. Because as we follow his plan, he promises to be with us. Did you follow all of that? The church, Brother President, is failing to execute the plan. And so promised power and promised presence is being withheld. And I want to demonstrate this biblically by looking at texts that we've looked at for years and have not listened to what God is saying. Matthew 28, get your Bible, get your phone, get your iPad. Look at these texts with me, because these are texts you've read over and over again. The launching pad is Matthew 28. And I'm going to tell you, Pastor Ben Jones, when the Lord hit me with this, I just trembled inside. Now we're familiar with verse 19. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. I read from the New King James Version. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now we know that, don't we? That's almost a mantra, almost a action statement for the church. Am I right about it? Then he says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. That's the plan. The plan was to go and do. As a result of the going and doing, he says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end. The presence is connected to the plan. See, we read that part about I am with you always, and we apply it generally. And I'm not suggesting that if you're not involved in the plan, you don't have any of the presence of God, because we move and breathe by His being. So you can't do anything without His presence. But there is a special kind of presence promised if you follow the plan. See, the Lord, I'm with you always, is connected to the going. If you ain't going, is anybody listening to me? If you're not going, then there is, Elaine Austin, a special presence promise you don't have. You have enough presence to get through the day, but not the kind of powerful presence, that can change you. God will help you get through a day. But you weren't called to get through a day. You were called to make a change in others. And he says, if you're doing that, then I got special presence for you. I'm with you every time you give a Bible study. I'm with you every time you pass out a tract. I'm with you every time you tell somebody at work why you're not coming in on Friday night. I got special power for you. And when you go to that boss and say, I'll lose my job before I come in on Sabbath, his presence moves on that boss and you walk away with your job. But now I'm going to prove to you that what I'm saying is really the truth. See, we read Matthew 28, 19 and 20, totally out of context. Here's the context. Verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. I'm in more of a teaching mood tonight. The 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, watch this text. I wish you would just read the Bible right, y'all. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. The command to go was given to people with doubts. Hey! See, the going, Dr. Brown, the going was to work on the doubt. You don't believe, so I'm going to send you. And the very acting out what I send you to do, the very going, starts working on your doubts, and confidence comes in. Hallelujah! I'm trying not to preach, y'all. I just want to teach a little bit, but this thing is down in my bone, and I cannot keep silent. So there's something developing here. Jesus sees the founders of the church, has a special meeting with them, 12 minus one, one's already flopped out, and the rest of them come with some doubts. Jesus says, I cannot wait any longer to settle these doubts. I'm going to send these rascals out to do the work. As they do the work, the doubts will be sanitized. So if you want his presence and want his power, you got to accept his plan, and then he promises to be with you. I wish somebody would say amen. The old preacher worked on that sentence, didn't he? Is that plain to you? But it's worse than that. Mark 16. Out of two or three witnesses, I read my Bible just like you did, shall the truth be established. Mark 16, verse 14. Now you thought they had doubts? And I'm speechless that God would give this majestic, earth-changing plan to people with doubts. But you think doubt was their only problem? Look at verse 14 later. This is Mark's version of the Matthew incident. Later he appeared to the 11. See, we're right back there. As they sat at table, and he rebuked their unbelief. And their hardness of heart. And then verse 15 said to them, go, take your unbelief, take your hard heart, and get busy. See, this is why our churches are messed up, folks. We're busy in the church fighting one another, not getting along, having all kind of attitudes, debating about bowling alleys and watches and cufflinks, a bunch of nothing. No salvation and none of that junk. Rather than get your rear end up off that pew, get out in that street, stop fighting one another, fight the devil, do God's work, and the hardness will soften, the unbelief will become solid, but you got to go. If you don't go, no presence, no power, no promise. You got to activate the plan. I hate to say it, this is another good sermon, Lord. Help me. Woo! But you think the problem was just doubt and unbelief and hardness of heart? Luke 24. Luke has a version of this same incident. And Luke is very, very embarrassing to the church. You ought not tell everything, Luke, but here he is. Here he is. Verse 36, now, as they said these things, Jesus himself, here comes the presence, stood in the midst of them, said to them, peace unto you. Look at verse 37. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed, Murph, that they had seen a spirit. Now, we got multiplied problems. First, they're in doubt. Secondly, they don't believe. Their hearts are all messed up, and they're scared to death. What's the answer? Jesus, go. Look at it. But while they still did not believe, for joy and marvel, he said to them, have you any food? He had to put on a demonstration. A demonstration to prove he was who he was. But their problem wasn't just fear. Look at verses 44 and 45. See, I need you to understand why you were called into the message. Why God brought you. See, this sermon is telling me why I'm in the ministry. God said he looked at Wright, born in the church, just enjoying being in the church, just enjoying knowing the truth. Ain't doing nothing with the plan, so I'm gonna lay on him the burden of the whole plan. Maybe I can save his sorry carcass by laying the burden of the whole church on him. Maybe if he goes, I can save him. Because in verse 44, he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms, concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. He's sending them out, and they still haven't had religion 101. Now, this tells me, though, you don't have to have a PhD in theology to get going. Just one little old Bible study with Jesus. The old folks said, just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Spend some time in your closet, on your knees, talking to Jesus. Get your degree there, then get up and go. Why? Because as you teach the Sabbath, as you preach the Sabbath, as you teach the law, as you preach the law, as you teach the health message, as you live the health message, something begins to purify your mind, purify your life, and you find that doubts and fears and unbelief disappear. But you've got to get going. We need a change, all right. One of the dangers for you folk who are in these big churches, Oakwood College Church, Birmingham, Memphis, Louisville, First Church. In them great big old churches, you can sit and hide. You ain't going, you're going to church, but you ain't doing nothing else. You are not filled with the power or the promise because you're hiding in the pew, listen to that wonderful preacher, De Valera Snell, preach his heart out, and then he goes out by himself, a handful go with him. Ain't no going, ain't no doing, and we baptize in 10, we ought to be baptized in 1,000. Why? Because we've never accepted the plan. God is not filling you with power so you can show off. He's filling you with power so you can do something. He don't care how many Sabbaths you've kept, how much tithe you've returned. He wonders how many folk are sitting in the pews of that big church because you went, found them, got them, taught them, loved them, brought them. We've turned church, particularly in these large churches, we've turned church into a theater, a show, a happening. A great gathering. We gather together, fill up with the Holy Ghost, and then choke on it. God is not pleased. He saw these doubting disciples. He saw the fear in their hearts. He understood the lack of understanding they had. You know, you've been in the church all these years. You can explain this and can explain that and can explain the other and sit in Sabbath school and tear up the Sabbath school with all new kind of ideas and thoughts ain't nobody heard of at all. Just go out on the street somewhere with your Bible and teach somebody about the love of Jesus Christ. Arguing about the 7 thunders, the 2300 days. You know, if you never are able to explain the 2300 days, you're going to be saved. Now, I need to be able to explain it. I'm a preacher. I should be able to explain it. But for you, no. Just know that in a few days, he's coming back. That's all the days you need to know. And so these texts we've been reading for years, they started shouting at me because I'm saying, why would he polite? Why would he give this command to people in doubt, to people with fear, to people who don't understand the scriptures? Why would he do that? Because he knew that was our need. See, the danger of Seventh-day Adventism is Seventh-day Adventism. You get to thinking you know and you have and you can explain so forth and so on. Folks, there's a whole whole lot of Baptists who know a little bit of scripture, they're going to be saved. God's going to burn your carcass because you got all this truth and you ain't doing nothing with it. Now, this is just a little Bible study. Not doing any real preaching here tonight, but you can see I got a burden on my heart. John's version of this is John 21. Now, this thing really, and the more I thought about this, Pastor Jones, Lord said, you have to go down there and Huntsville and preach this thing to these people and let them understand that this change that we want to come through the presence and the power and the promise has got to be activated by something, and the activation is the plan. Folks, if you don't remember anything else about the sermon, Pastor Wright said we got to work the plan to get the power. We got to work the plan to get the power, which guarantees the presence, and he can keep his promise. I tell you, Lord, help us. So in John 21, here they are. After these things, Jesus showed himself. See, each gospel deals with this, and it tells me that it's important. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. In this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee. Now John's being very nice because Thomas is actually the doubter. The sons of Zebedee, the gangbangers, sons of thunder. You know, really, when you read this first group, see, this is why you shouldn't feel bad. Look at the first group. You're talking, James and John. Knock your head off in a minute. Matthew, rob his own mama. He's a publican. He's a crook, white collar crook. Simon the Zealot, he's a terrorist. Zealots took a vow when they joined they would never be caught without a knife. Are you following me? Peter, motor mouth Peter, say something, do nothing. This is the foundation of the church. So you belong here. You you're in the right church. This is where you belong. Yeah. God made no mistake when he called you. This is a select group. And then to show you, after all this time with his presence, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. Now, they have lived through the cross. They've heard him preach for 3 years, 3.5 years, seen all kind of miracles and power. Come on now. They know he's come up out of the grave. Because Mary came and told them, the sister, the head deacon said, hey, Jesus is up. They weren't grabbing that because they're full of doubt and fear. We done read that. We all know all about them. So Peter's response to the plan was, I'm going fishing. Come on, y'all. God didn't call you in this church to go back to where you were. Hey! Now, because you have truth, now because you have understanding, now because you have biblical knowledge, now because you know how your body ought to be treated, now because you know he's coming soon, God says, you have no time to go back to fishing. Get up and go. Why? There's a work to be done. I've called you to the plan. The plan exercise guarantees his presence, guarantees his power. He will keep his promise. It's time for the church to add the fourth piece. Somebody tonight needs to say, I accept the plan. I accept the plan. Lord, help me. I accept the plan. There's less power in the church today because we think that his power is some kind of feel good. I'm done. Some kind of feel good. Just as I am. Folks, God is not into warm fuzzies. There's a world dying. We're sitting in church and people are out there doping up, committing adultery, lying and stealing. The very top spots of our nation have become cesspools of irresponsibility. I don't care what your politics are. There's only one party you want to be a member of. When the saints go marching in. God needs the church to accept the fourth P, the plan. And I don't want to hear nothing about you can't preach and you can't teach and you can't sing like M5 plus 1 plus 2 plus 5, whatever. All I know is these brothers can sing. There's a hungry Jesus. There's an aching Lord. I got all this power I want to give, but I got to find somebody who's committed to the plan. Do you understand the core of this message? There's nothing deep. My sermons are never really deep. I just take the Bible and just work on it. Let it talk to us. Some of you have been in the church for years. You've never been enthusiastic about the plan. And here's what Satan does. Here's the dangerous part. It scares me. He gets us so wrapped up in our own aches and pains and problems and failures and divorces and habits and issues and children and money and stuff. And we're going to God to get us out of that, never asking him for the power to work the plan. The power was promised for the plan. The power and the plan are connected. No plan, no power. Surely you can go to the phone and call some weary soul in your neighborhood that you know has lost their husband and just talk to him on the phone. But we have to become more activated. We just can't go through meetings like this and camp meetings like this and go home to the same old sitting down, do nothing kind of religion that ain't changing nobody. And Ellen White says that as we work for the Lord, she says, then he solves our problems. In other words, we have to move. Hey, hear me. We have to move from self-centered religion, self-centered praying. Stop treating God like a slot machine, putting in a quarter's worth of prayer, hoping for the dollar's worth of blessing. Just get up and do the work. God will rain blessings down on us. I need a commitment tonight. I need a commitment. Lord, I'm not going to keep asking you for power and presence, and I've never been committed to the plan. And if you're willing to commit yourself, I mean be serious, that you're going to take a hard look at your life. I know you got problems. I know you got bills. I know you got issues. But I'm telling you, you can't go week after week after week and never do anything. Nothing. Crawl in church on Sabbath, tired and worn out. Sleep, the man done prepared a sermon, woman done prepared a sermon, preaching their hearts out. You can barely stay awake. Why? You've never been committed to the plan, so there's nothing to enthuse you. You're barely hanging on. God did not call us to barely hang on. Our backs ought to be straight. Our chins ought to be up. We ought to be able to say, there's a God in heaven who fights my battles. I ain't worried about nothing. So you want to join me tonight in fresh commitment? Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Too much time being spent in some of these churches worrying about what the pastor's not doing. What are you doing? You've been in the church longer than your pastor's been alive. What are you doing? Maybe some of you feel even stronger about it. And you're saying, Pastor Wright, I never really have captured what I'm supposed to be doing for the Lord, but I want to know. I want you to pray for me, especially that God will give me a vision of what I need to be doing so that I can receive the presence and the power. If that's your need, I want you to move from where you are and come down front. I'm going to pray for you. Come on. Come on. This doesn't apply to everybody. Some of you already know what you're supposed to be doing. Just do it. Just do it. But if you really need the Lord to help you see, what should I be doing? Pastor Wright, I really don't do anything but go to church, actually. Pastor Ben, would you come and stand beside me, please? This is your flock, man. Listen, I'm just a guest here. This is your flock. You want to pray for us? Let's give our president a microphone here and right here. That one right there, they'll light that one up for you. So you men have dedicated yourself to music, to exercise. God bless you. You've got a calling. Don't be led from it. Remember, it's as you do the calling, you'll have the power. Your voices will get stronger. Your music will get richer. Now, folks, I'm very serious about this call. In 54 years of ministry, I have found out that the Christian life is based on four things. Four things only. Prayer, Bible study, worship, and Christian service. The Christian life is based on a four-legged chair. One leg is broken. It's called Christian service. And a four-legged chair with a broken leg will not stand up. Pray for us, Pastor.
In the closing moments of this service, Lord, you've heard you loud and clear. Yes. We've been coming because we want to change. Yes. But there's a condition. If we're not willing to go, if we're not willing to do,
mercy, Jesus,
there'll be no change. You have provided for us supernatural, superabundant power. Yes. But we've stood outside of that ring of power because you didn't go. And so, Lord, we ask forgiveness for our slowness. We ask forgiveness for our selfishness. We need you, Lord, to help us with our fear. The devil told us we couldn't go because we messed up. And we're trying to get good enough to go.
Have mercy. Forgive us, Lord.
But you didn't tell us to be good enough to go.
That's right.
Just like you told the lepers, go to the temple, and on their way, they got healed.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I don't want this to be just another easy appeal. where we have a conviction of the moment and go to the parking lot and feel that was all you asked. You're not asking for more busyness. You're asking for a radical realignment of our lives along your will. And you have a specific individual plan for everyone on their feet tonight.
Hallelujah.
You brought us into existence for this time. Everything that's happened to us, every catfish in our life has pushed us to know if we don't have you now, we won't have you ever. So Holy Spirit, take a head count. Demons, in God's name, we rebuke you. Devil, you're a lie. We have been changed. We receive the Spirit. We claim the promise. We want the presence. Fix our minds. Help us to stop coming to you for stuff. Help us to come to you for you. Give us a hungering and thirsting for righteousness. That's an obsession with us. That we will not be satisfied until we be filled. That we will not let you go until you bless us. And you're not just blessing us for our abundance. You're preparing us for a work for a lost world and a final conflict. Help us to love you more than sin. Give us the burden that you have carried since eternity for the children to all be in one home. I thank you, Lord, for showing up at this camp meeting, for speaking old-fashioned straight truth to us, embedded in our hearts. Trouble our spirits, shake up our comfortness, tear everything away from us that's not like you. We give you permission, Lord, do whatever you think is necessary to save us. And as we leave this place, Lord, please have a private personal conference with us.
Thank you, Jesus.
Don't let us sleep well at night until we say, I give up. Yes. Cleanse our thinking. Change our spirits. Some of us, Lord, are bitter and angry for what others have done. Help us, like the brother saying, to let it go. We cannot be filled with the Spirit while we're filled with anger and remorse and grief. Empty us. Cleanse us. Then fill us. Then finally, Lord, can you come quickly? Tired of bearing loved ones. Tired of watching disaster and pain. Tired watching loved ones battling cancer. Can you come quickly? You said we could hasten your coming. Help us to be anxious until everyone we know in our influence has actually been talked to about the gospel of Christ. And I thank you, Lord, for being an on-time God. You said, put me first. Seek me first, and everything you need, I give it to you. In Jesus' name, let us people say, amen.